You're listening to Nick Luck Daily. This edition is brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis. By the Racehorse Owners Association. And by the Racing App, in partnership with FitzDares.
Good morning, it's Thursday the 11th of April. Coming to you from the media centre at Aintree Racecourse on day one of the Randox Grand National Festival. It's grand opening day, and no grander way to begin proceedings than by introducing David Yates, newsboy from the Daily Mirror. It's no overstatement, David, that this is by far and away the most important weekend of the year for somebody who writes for a Red Top newspaper.
Absolutely right. The Grand National Day across... certainly Red Top Land is the biggest seller of the year, and that's down, you know, in our own sport, Nick, we talk about the Grand National and how racing is perhaps losing its place in the public consciousness, but for the newspapers, for the Daily Mirror and the Reach stable, the Saturday of the Grand National is the biggest seller bar none, and there's one reason for that, and that is the great race itself.
And the good news for you, though less good news for those who were hoping their horses might sneak in at the bottom of the 34 strong field, is that it has been a largely unchanged field all week. We brought you the news yesterday that Conflated would not be declared. Indeed, he has not been, so the weights have gone up just a touch. The rest of the field have all been declared. So Kitty's Light is the last one in. Melina Girl does not get a run, neither does Desert Moorhouse, and there are no reserves. So, Conflated out, the rest in. David, are you surprised that they've all been left in, particularly the two Ronnie Bartlett horses, Statler and Galvin, given ground conditions?
That was the question mark, wasn't it, as to whether they would be declared. The word heavy is in the description on all three courses, isn't it? It's soft, heavy in places on the Mild Mate and the Hurdles, and heavy, soft in places on the Grand National course. The forecast until Saturday afternoon is predominantly dry now, with the odd shower, Slake of Armour said yesterday, the clerk of the course here at Aintree. So yeah, the two Bartlett horses, the question mark was over them. Now that they've declared, obviously one hopes that they run, because as you just said, that we don't have the reserve system anymore, and so those would be places that could have gone elsewhere.
Do you think a 34 runner Grand National, when the tapes go up, will look vastly different from a 40 runner Grand National?
No, I don't. I think it'll look pretty much the same. 6 out of 40 is 15%, isn't it? So the field has been reduced by 15%. But I think for people who watch one horse race a year, the sight of 34 runners galloping towards the first of those distinctive spruce-topped fences is going to look essentially the same as it would have done last year, and even, of course, going back decades when they used to run a lot more than 40 horses in the Nash.
And, of course, for those who do only watch one horse race a year, you will be well familiar with last year's hero, Corrack Rambler. And that is where I began this morning, by chatting to Lucinda Russell and Peter Scudamore, who were driving down here to Aintree on the M74. And I asked Lucinda, first of all, how she was feeling with just 2 days to go.
Well, it's funny. So when you get anxious, you become very productive. And I've been doing lots of things. I was invoicing at 4:45 this morning. So, yeah, you could say that I'm not sleeping. That's probably the best thing. It's just the anxiety and the looking forward to it. We are looking forward to it, but just hoping that we've got everything covered.
So is the anxiety different this year? I mean, you've won two Grand Nationals before. Obviously, this horse last year won for Arthur in 20 whatever it was, 17. Is the anxiety different this time?
I suppose we've got a knowledge of what's to come. There's no more pressure because we've got a runner at the Grand National, or because we've got the favourite at the Grand National. There's more pressure because Corrack's a very special horse to us, and obviously with the other runners as well. So I would say it's slightly different, but it's not like a premonition because of the National, no.
Okay, and just looking at his task this year, really, given the way he ran in the Gold Cup last time, how much how much harder and better do you think he's got to run to win?
Excuse you, want to answer that? You just
sighed. I look through, try and go through with form. It's very hard to be neutral when you're doing it. Clearly a horse that runs, has won a Grand National and been third in a Gold Cup. I mean, we may never touch his leg again, you know. That's part of the anxiety. He's won twice at the Cheltenham Festival, won a Grand National, been third in the Gold Cup. To go back down here, ask him one more question, is, you know, we keep asking ourselves, are we doing the right thing? It also makes me aware of how special, me back on the ground, if you like, makes me aware of how everybody else is going through the same worries that we are, all the lads and stuff looking after these horses. He's clearly £3 well in, which, although he's probably going to go up another pound because Conflated doesn't run. He's worse off than last year. I walked around the track the other day. Fences look enormous. I thought it looks a good national. So those are the things against it. On the plus side, Derek's very confident. Derek's a genius round Aintree, and the horse, if he takes to it as he did last year, I mean, his jumping is, God willing, if he jumps like he did last year, is an asset to him. And Lucinda's putting her hand up there.
Well, I was going to say, he's actually probably run better races this season than he did the season before he won the National. So I think he has actually improved. He's gone up an handicap, justly because of that. But I do think he's better this year as a racehorse. Mm. But whether the handicap has put a bit of extra weight on him and whether he has the luck, that's the question.
Did Cheltenham make you think differently about his ability to handle really testing ground?
Yes, I think it did. I suppose you always it's quite right. You question things. It's not professional if you don't. But he clearly handled that ground. I mean, I didn't think you'd walking in Aintree the other day. I didn't think it was bad winter ground. Obviously, because it's fresh, the grass is growing. I mean, it's clearly there was water, a lot of water from Canal Turn, but down to Canal Turn, and then it's not too bad. I thought the Cheltenham ground was pretty tired. Worn ground, it's a pretty unpleasant ground, and he handled that exceptionally well. I wouldn't want it Earth Summit, the year that Earth Summit or Red Marauder won it. I think that would change the equation altogether. If it was just soft with a heavy patch or two, after Cheltenham, I think we agree that he's run the best ever race in his life on it. So, but I just wouldn't want it absolutely slog bottom.
Skew, obviously you ride the horse every day. Does he feel any different to how he did going into Cheltenham? Have you done more with him? What have you done? What's the training regime been?
I think that Cheltenham tightened him up. I think he was probably, he hadn't run since November. I mean, we weren't trying to be clever. We sent him down there as fit as we could get him at home, but any horse improves to run. I think the timing of Cheltenham to Aintree is in our favour, and I think he looks better in his coat. He's gone up a girth in a hole on his girth. I think from what I can see, Lucinda does the science. From what I see, he's at his peak. What about the scientific side?
Yeah, well, I was going to say more about, I feed him in the morning and he's definitely in a different zone now. He's definitely much harder and tougher not angry, but just edgy.
And his track wash.
He's absolutely, his track wash was perfect. I think he's absolutely right for it. He's light, he's the right shape. Yeah. And actually, that's why we're driving down the M74 this morning and not last night and having a nice evening in Liverpool. It's because Scoot wanted to ride him this morning. So there we go. We can tell you that when we left home at 8 o'clock, he was perfect.
Okay. And does that mean that you get to stretch his legs for him tomorrow morning on the track, Scoot?
No, little girl called Laurie Walsh looks after him, and she'll ride Michael, my son, and would take him on a, we have a pre-race gallop, and they'll go and do the pre-race gallop, which he did today actually, so they'll go and do that tomorrow, and then he'll come down with it. Jamie Duff is our well-known, excellent travelling head girl, and she has everything done, and she'll repeat what happened last year, and hopefully he had a police escort. Constabulary had a few quid on him or not, but hopefully he gets a police escort in again this year, and out.
Fingers crossed. Lucinda, you've got lots of runners over the next few days, and all the big guns are out as well. Ahoy Senor this afternoon, Jovinko, Apple Away, and plenty more. Which one's getting your blood pumping the most?
The one that got my blood pumping the most was Maritown. He should be running, but he's got a cut in his leg, which is really annoying. I'm excited to see Ahoy Senor today. I'm excited to see Jovinko. I think he ran a super race at Cheltenham and has improved a little bit for that, so excited to see him. Yeah, no, it's really good. We had a great entry last year. I was just thinking this morning as I was wandering around, you know, can we emulate that again this year? Can we have as good a time? I'd be delighted if we did.
That's Lucinda Russell and Peter Scudamore. Lucinda's really become an ambassador for the race, as well as a dual-winning trainer, someone who advocates for it, I think, like nobody else. And listening to her there, listening to her concerns, her excitement, punctuated by Skew's stream of consciousness on this horse. It's always a good listen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most wonderful thing about Lucinda Russell's ambassadorial role for the Grand National is that it's not aggressive and it's not exclusive. You know, we've talked about this before, and just moments after Korak Rambler had won the Randox Grand National in 2023, all manner of emotions swirling round her head. She gave that really staunch but respectful defence of the Grand National. None of the you know, not trying to demonise or to ridicule racing's opponents, but to say this is what we do, we are proud of what we do, and this is why, and anyone who opposes what we do is welcome and should go and visit racehorse stables and see that the care that thoroughbreds get. So it was considering it would have been remarkable if she had had 6 weeks to write that speech. The fact that she just did it on the hoof, yeah, after winning a race that's universally seen as a lottery was even more impressive.
Really, that should be the front page of the horsepower campaign, something we've been speaking about quite a bit on this podcast, and make no apology for either. There is a fine line, isn't there, between getting your welfare message right and out there, and doing yourself down, if you like, by being too introspective. My own view is that the horsepower campaign is a very outward looking endeavour, and I like it.
I do. I think it's very good indeed. The fact that it's backed up by so many figures and statistics, I think, is extremely helpful. And yeah, I mean, well, it's a case that I've probably made for a very long time, in that I haven't felt over the last decade or so that horse racing is front foot enough about its welfare record, that whilst it can always be improved, I think it should be very proud of. And yeah, this was a very welcome step last week at the horsepower website. And as I say, I think it's always important when you're dealing with, and it's a word I will never use except to say antis, those who are fundamentally opposed to horse racing. It's always important to do it respectfully, and if you can do it backed up with statistics and facts that illustrate the fact that horse racing is a a supportable and very positive activity, then that's the way it should be done.
Of course, this is going to be the smallest field, isn't it, in a Grand National since Rough Quest won the race back in 1996.
96 indeed, yeah.
Yeah, ridden by
Mick Fitzgerald, who's just about 3 feet away from me now, and of course a horse who had finished placed second
in the Gold Cup
in the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Shall we have a quick word with him? He's just here. We were just saying it's going to be the smallest field since you won on Rough Quest.
Yeah, but do you know what? I actually said it this morning. Do I feel any different winning a Grand National with only 26 runners? No, I don't. Because, and I dare anybody to say otherwise, because trust me, when you win a Grand National, your place in history is there for everyone to see.
So I was lucky enough to work on a few Grand Nationals with you. You were a completely different human here at Aintree than anywhere else.
When you're able to walk in as a past winner, you can puff your chest out a little bit. And
I've been watching you and Barry Geraghty this morning.
I might only be 5'9", but I feel about 6'9" when I walk in here.
Do you still get stopped a lot by people reminiscing about that day when you walk around here?
Yeah, and it's funny, like when obviously what I said after I won the Nationals. Mm-hmm. Something that anytime anybody brings it up, they say, oh, you're the one who said that. And then suddenly it's, you're not just another jockey.
Yeah. As far as this year's concerned, it's going to be really hard work out there. You must have ridden in a couple of those very, very soft ground nationals as well, the 98 and the 2001.
Yeah, I missed the Red Marauder.
Did you? But not the Earth Summit.
I was supposed to ride and then was injured on the day and missed out. And I think Tom Doyle rode the horse that I was supposed to ride. And he literally got torpedoed when the horse went to jam off. And I was the happiest man in the weighing room because I was watching it thinking, I knew this was going to happen.
But you rode in the Earth Summit one, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Look, when it gets like that, people have to make the decisions early to get out of there. If our starts, if you're not travelling, get out of there. Because if you're not travelling on the first circuit, you ain't going to be travelling
on
the second one.
Yeah. Fitzy, good to see you. And happy memories.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks.
Mick Fitzgerald, of course, who won the Grand National on Rough Quest in 1996. Loving it here at Aintree. We're going to hear from another trainer with a big chance. All right, well, you'd have laid me quite long odds that it was a first-ever Grand National runner for Gary Moore, but it could be a winner at the first time of asking. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Have you just started up the tractor?
It sounds like a tractor, but it's not a tractor. It's a monster truck. It's the only way we can get around at the moment. I'm just going to watch horses score, and we've had so much rain here, like it's the only thing that gets across the field, you know.
It's definitely the most impressive ignition I've had on this show, that's for sure. Is your other monster truck, Naslam, capable of getting across the fields at the moment? I suspect he probably is, judging on Chepstow.
Yeah, he is, I think that's well documented and everybody knows that, but yeah. The problem with Naslam is the weight he's got to carry.
And how much of a concern for you is that, in terms of how good you think he is relative to the mark that he's on?
Yeah, if I'm honest, be honest with you, I think he's got £10 too much. The only thing that's going to give him some sort of chance is if the ground stays heavy. I just hope I'd love to see rain on the day would give him even more chance, you know. But he's in great order. His scope was good on Tuesday. I've done everything I wanted to do with him. I couldn't do any more. There's nothing else I could do that I know of anyway that's legal.
And some people will school these horses over, you know, special fences and what have you. Have you done that, or do you just leave him be?
Yeah, and he'll have another go tomorrow morning just to get his eye in. We built a couple at home for him. He ran in the Grand Sefton earlier in the year, so he knows what to expect, but I mean, they're not much difference now to the normal park fence course, are they, you know?
No, I suppose it's just a different test, different dimensions, and I guess what it will be is an absolutely thorough searching test of stamina. Even if it does dry out, it's going to be very testing, and this horse doesn't stop galloping, does he?
He doesn't, no. I hope he don't anyway, you know. especially on Saturday. You know, he seems to be a relentless galloper. I mean, when he ran it in the Gold Cup the other day, he was flat out all the way. You know, and that's why he done the right thing by pulling him up. He wasn't going. Ground was too quick for him. So, and he's not Gold Cup class. And that's probably what you have to be now to win a Gold Cup, to win a national, I think, you know.
But he is a very honest horse and a great galloper, and he'll be a fantastic first ride in the race for Caelan Quinn, who comes back today at Taunton. How is he doing?
He's doing pretty well. I think he looks pretty fit. I think he's looking forward to Saturday, as he should be. And, you know, like I just hope everything works out well for the pair of them.
And Aintree's a place that has been pretty kind to you, for all that you haven't had a runner in the national. Is there a good, palpable sense of excitement around the yard at something a little bit different?
Yeah, I think there is, you know, really, you know, like he went to the beach earlier in the week and seemed to enjoy himself there, you know, so, you know, everything, I kind of hope I left no stone unturned for him, you know, to give him every chance.
Gary Moore there on his monster truck. I've certainly never interviewed anybody on a monster truck before. I've all sorts on this podcast. I've interviewed people having manicures, pedicures. I'll leave you to get. Do you know the two people who've been having manicures and pedicures whilst being interviewed on this podcast, David?
I'm sorry, I've no idea.
Hazard a guess? Neither's English.
No, I'm sorry, you've got me.
Gay Waterhouse.
Right.
Pedicure.
Right.
Peter Brandt, manicure.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. That wasn't a name that would have been top of my list.
No, anyway, right. Gary Moore, he definitely wasn't having a mani or a pedi. He was on his monster truck.
No, indeed. What an interesting horse this is. Caelan Quinn, of course, having his first ride in the race. He's come back after suffering that broken collarbone at Plumpton at the end of February. And, well, Nassalam is a fascinating runner, just simply because of the extremes that he's presented on his last two starts, isn't he? If the Nassalam from Chepstow on the 27th of December, the Welsh Grand National, turns up, then even with a £16 hike in the weights, he's surely got to be a player on ground that, even with that dryish forecast until Saturday afternoon, is going to suit. It was soft ground for the Cheltenham Gold Cup, and obviously he was a horse who was among the outsiders that day, but he was pretty much the first beaten. And I think plenty of people, including myself, when you write a tipping piece on the Gold Cup, yes, you put your selection, you go through the others, and then my cliche is for those who wish to play at bigger odds,
yeah.
And it's put Nassalam in, and of course, you know,
he totally out of his comfort zone, yeah, wasn't he?
He was. He never looked comfortable from the very start. So we'll see how he fares. But certainly, you know, I know Gary Moore was cross about the £16 rise, but I've certainly never seen a Welsh Grand National won by 34 lengths before. He was absolutely monstrous. He was a monster truck that day. And if he can reproduce that at Aintree, then surely he's going to be a player under a jockey whose career just seems to follow an upward curve week by week, month by month.
And as I was saying, makes his comeback this afternoon at Taunton just in time to get the sit on Nassalam in the Grand National. David, obviously tomorrow we're going to go through each and every runner as we normally do on the Friday, and you'll be giving us your selection then, and I know you don't want to give it away now. There is a bit of gamesmanship like that in the press room before the Grand National, isn't there?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I'll tell you my selection.
I want you to weigh.
Shall I give you my shortlist?
Yeah, give me your shortlist.
Okay, Correct Rambler, mm-hmm. Obviously reigning champion. Meeting of the Waters.
Yeah, Willie Stay.
He's the best of the Willie Mullins. Panda Boy, second to Meeting of the Waters.
Like him, we spoke to Martin Brassel a couple of days ago.
The boy from Brazil. I think Gallia de Lito is capable
Dan
of running.
Dan Skelton, could he hand the, or could she hand the Trainers' Championship to Skelton?
First mare since, what, Nickel Coin in 1951, for you history anoraks. And finally, Marla Mission, who, again, a horse who, there are so many reasons to think that he can improve from that second in the Coral Gold Cup back at the start of December, wasn't it? So yeah, those are my five.
Excellent. I like that. Nice degree of certainty about it as well. Ollie Bell's just walking past us. Big week for him on ITV Sport. Any surprises for us? Anything we can look forward to?
Is this for the podcast?
Well, we're broadcasting live now.
On the podcast.
You'll get there one day.
The surprises will be revealed in my exclusive Daily Mirror column.
Oh, tremendous.
Tell him about the golf yesterday.
Well, actually, Mick Fitzgerald shot his first ever under par round. Genuinely gross under par.
A 20-footer on the 18th,
which I have video evidence of. But, and anyway, him and Rishi have now got a match bet in the Grand National with Passad going for Corrick Rambler, meeting of the waters for Fitzgerald. They're double or quitsing the golf bet.
And that was not made. That was not made up.
Festival Bell Tours, I love it. Fitzy's putt our Rishi, yeah. In a bit of a hole.
it's excellent stuff that we come up with. And you'll see that every morning in the Daily Mirror.
Do you want to give your show a plug?
Opening show every morning, 9:30 a.m. I should do that, actually. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
On ITV,
on ITV 4 tomorrow, ITV 1 and ITV 4 on Saturday, which is great. And Rishi will actually be live from Alderhay Children's Hospital tomorrow morning, which is a huge part of National Week. And it's going to be great to see everyone there meeting the children and the families of Alderhay.
Ollie, thank you very much. Now, don't forget, because this is Grand National Week, is another opportunity to play our Round the World Crown Jewels Fantasy Racing game. You'll remember the last leg was the Dubai World Cup, and that was quite a profitable one for some of us, because Laurel River came out on top. You can challenge our stable of experts and put yourself in with a chance of winning a £1,000 first prize, plus an annual subscription to Racing TV, and cash prizes for second, third and fourth as well, by playing our CJR Fantasy game. Just go to fantasy.crownjewelsracing.com and get ready to play and select your team. And I'll be giving you my 1-2-3 for the Randox Grand National in tomorrow's podcast. The Grand National should be the ultimate test of Race IQ's jumping efficiency data. And to that end, it gives me great pleasure to welcome Paige Fuller to the podcast to tell us which of these horses is best equipped to jump most efficiently around the Grand National fences. Paige, this must be manna from heaven for you, this race, with this technology.
It is, and the nice thing is a lot of these ran against each other last year, so at least we've got this comparative data from last year, which has been really interesting looking into, actually.
And does the dimension of the national fences actually make a significant difference to how you analyse this? Because you're analysing horses who've been running over park courses, sometimes over hurdles. How do you put all this together?
So the nice thing is, within our length gain jumping metric, we've got a derived metric called speed lost, which measures how much speed a horse is losing over their obstacles. So for this race in particular, especially now that the fences don't take as much jumping, I've definitely been looking more towards that. Like Corrick Rambler is actually quite a slick jumper. He doesn't lose much speed on the air. You're normally looking around sort of 3.5 miles an hour lost over his obstacles on average over normal fences, granted more when he was over the national fences last year. But from that, when you start comparing him up to Iron Maximus, for example, over in Ireland, who's losing 5-6 miles an hour on average, you kind of go, right, okay, yes, Iron Maximus is safe. I'm not saying he's a bad jumper, but where these fences don't take that big, you know, that you don't need to be sort of big and bold over them anymore, I think actually you're looking more towards that slicker jumper.
It's interesting, because when there was a really soft ground Grand National in 2001 and Red Marauder won it, he was easily the worst jumper in the field and somehow was the only one that managed to negotiate it, but he was very, very careful.
Exactly, and look, I'm not taking away from someone like Iron Maximus, because clearly he's got a massive engine. I can't remember what he lost in the Bobby Joe, but I think even Vanillier jumped better than him in the Bobby Joe. Vanillier's not the world's greatest jumper. I mean, Vanillier definitely, in my opinion, lost it last year on his jumping. I think there was like a 17 length difference in the jumping values for Corrick Rambler and Vanillier, and he got beat 2 lengths or something, made up 10 lengths up the home straight, and you're like, well, you know where he's throwing it away.
Okay, so who should we be looking out for? You mentioned Corrick Rambler being slick, Iron Maximus being notably deliberate. Who should we be looking at?
So it is a bit of a leap of faith, but if I was looking at the same sort of profile going, right, slick jumper who handles bottomless ground, well, there are two horses that are very slick jumpers. There's Kitty's Light, who has posted the least average speed loss values in the, I think it was the Scottish National.
That's
last year.
Remarkable for such a small horse, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's phenomenal. I think he shows up all the time, even in the Bet365 chase at Sandown. You know, he's so slick, but I just worry about the ground for him. So for that reason, I think Nasalam will really suit these fences. When he won the Welsh Grand National, he posted one of our highest lengths gain jumping values that day. Granted, that was because he just galloped them into the ground. He was going very well, so where a lot of ground speed is taken into consideration, that probably affected the 29 lengths he gained. But actually, it's also the fact that on such bottomless ground, he was only losing 2.65 miles an hour over his obstacles.
Yeah.
So as well as being able to gallop through that ground, he's able to be slick as well at the same time. Like, he's not losing any efficiency at all. So for that reason, I know it's a big leap of faith, but I don't know, he didn't have a hard race in the Gold Cup either where he pulled up, so you never know.
Yeah, we spoke to Gary Moore earlier in the show. He's just worried he's got £10 too much, but that might be counteracted by his slick and efficient jumping. He and Kitty's Light coming out top of the Race IQ database.
Yeah, it's looking good for them. So, well, I hope for Christian as well. I mean, it would be an amazing story, wouldn't it?
Well, we need to toast day one of Aintree, grand opening day, and there's a grand opening happening now, courtesy of Neil Phillips, the wine tipster, who's uncorking a lovely bottle of... What are we uncorking today, Neil?
This is our house champagne, Gobillard. This is really our new house champagne here for the Jockey Club, and it's doing really well, and we're going to have a taste of this in a moment.
So I'm not familiar with Gobillard.
So it's a lovely family business, and this...
Lovely.
It's been nicely aged. We've got the classic blend of Chardonnay, Meunier, and Pinot Noir, and we've had a great reception to this wine. We introduced it last October. Nice deep colour here. Nice mousse there. Nick's ready, everybody. And
so this would be similar to...
Well, this would be, so we on the list, you'd just be, this would be your classic house champagne. But I like the family business and I like the consistency here. And we tasted this some time ago. And I tasted this quite a few times. So I really like this consistent style. Cheers.
Cheers, Neil.
Nice bit of richness there.
Mm.
That's lovely, isn't it? You've got the richness, you've got the roundness. You've also got that bit of acidity just kicking at the end. But
I'm
not
glad
too-
it's not. I'm glad we're sort of edging towards lunchtime anyway.
Actually... quite late for us really, but here we are. But it's great, isn't it? It's really nice finish there, and the creaminess on the finish is really good, well-made house champagne, and we've had a good reception there, and Nick's really enjoying that and taking it all in. It's good, but this is where you've got to be consistent, because you're going to have lots of people in a box having this without food or with food. Both great, I think.
So it needs to be versatile.
Yeah, definitely, and I think that's what it is. What do you think?
I like it. I like it very much. Very drinkable.
Yeah, it is really, really drinkable. Well made. Nice bit of age on it as well, and that has been a good new selection for us. So we've got lots going on. Just to remind everybody, what's happening here is download the Aintree Races app. By the way, you're going to get all the information on hospitality. We've obviously got the Horse and Groom Pub here, but head off to the Red Rum Garden as well, because you've got the Record League Bar there, Revolution Bar. And there's lots of food on the go as well, which is very popular at Cheltenham. So plenty for everybody to do here. 700 people working in hospitality. We're doing a lot for the community as well. That's the thing. I think we need to remind people about that, actually. You know, because we talk about that at Cheltenham. But here I'm supporting Liverpool.
Neil, thank you. That's fantastic. I'm richly enjoying this. And hopefully you'll be back tomorrow with something for Lydia.
Yeah, we are. We've got something for Lydia. We've got some breakfast lined up as well, Nick. And be a good lot of fun. Cheers.
Well, cheers to Neil, cheers to you, David Yates, as we round up this broadcast on the first day of the Grand National Festival. Your hopes, thoughts, dreams, fears for today and the next few days?
Right, for the next few days, probably much the same as everyone else. I want the National to have a positive... For people who watch the National have a positive experience. We're used to the phone-ins, aren't we, that follow 48 and 72 hours after the great race. They will inevitably be there. But, yeah, I just hope that it's a good advertisement for the sport that we all love. The Grand National, for all the changes, remains a race for heroes. You know that you're watching a spectacle that makes your heart beat that fast, that bit faster and that bit stronger. So I hope that come... 4:20 on Saturday afternoon, the people who are watching one horse race a year are inclined to watch a second.
All right, that was Thursday, the 11th of April. Enjoy this afternoon, Grand Opening Day, tomorrow, Ladies' Day, and of course, Grand National Day, Saturday. Lydia and I will be back tomorrow, David.
Do you want a tip for today?
Go on, give me a tip for today.
Okay, let's go, shall we? Surely a real safe one who should do the business for us. 2:55 race, the bowl, and the selection number 5, Jerry Colombs. He's only been beaten by one horse in 3 starts this year, and that is Galopin des Champs. He had a hard race in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, but remember he had a hard race behind the real whacker at Cheltenham in 2023, and then came to win here as a novice. So let's hope that he can get us off to a flying start. 2:55 race at Aintree today. Selection number 5, Jerry Colombs.
That's it, we're done, we're out. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you by Timeform, the trusted source of racing data and analysis, by the Racehorse Owners Association, and by the Racing App in partnership with FitStairs.